Nitin Sawhney is a man with nothing less than a global agenda. He's a music producer, an arranger, a songwriter, and also a very, very frequent flyer. In 1 2-month stint, he went from Rio de Janeiro, where Sting took him to a samba school, to Australia to talk to Aboriginal elders, to India to record a spoken word percussionist. That's only part of the trip, and it shows in his latest CD, Prophecy. It's meant to be dizzying. Nitin Sawhney wanted this project to be a world tour that took him to the front lines of whatever was happening.
I came from a background where I was a classical musician, but at the same time I also grew up in clubs and I'm DJing on all kinds of stuff, so I use samplers and programming techniques as well. So it got to a point where I was kind of thinking, well, I don't really want to make an album, you know, this time around that kind of, you know, has loads of samples and stuff where I haven't been there. You know, I'd like to kind of make an album that is very much about working with people and seeing people firsthand. And I think that's really where Prophecy was coming from.
Let me ask you about Moonrise. It's recorded in Paris, London, Brazil, Madrid, with a lot of percussion. I guess that helps define the arc of this album when you talk about these places.
Sure. I mean, one of the things, Moonrise is a track that I recorded with Sheb Mami, a person many people would know from his work with Sting on Desert Rose. He's an Algerian rice singer. And I worked with him. I worked with some flamenco guitarists from Spain. I worked with Nina Miranda, who's a great Brazilian singer. And finally with Steve Shahan, who's part Cherokee and part Irish percussionist. So it was quite an epic journey just to make this one track alone.
Let me ask you a little bit about growing up in England. You grew up in a community some distance from London and at a time when the Asian migration into London provoked certain kinds of tensions. What was your experience?
Well, I mean, at the time I was growing up, the National Front, which is a very right-wing type organisation in this country, they were very strong at that time. This was in, you know, in the 70s kind of thing. And I remember bad vibes at school and outside the school gates. You know, and at one point I was actually banned from the school music rooms by a teacher who was actually a member of the National Front. I was the only Asian kid amongst about 700 white kids, so it was kind of a bit of an isolating experience, as you can probably imagine. So,
well, in another track, you use news accounts from Bosnia in Breathing Light, which could have been, I think, quite a controversial choice, and you mix this with other music. Let's listen to a bit of Breathing Light.
The fighting was the heaviest you've seen in Sarajevo, at the police station manned by officers loyal to the Muslim government of President Izet Begovic. Men tried to find what cover they could as bullets literally kicked around them.
What's been the reaction to this track? Because I could see it as eliciting perhaps at least a critical observation that this was serious stuff and doesn't belong in a produced piece.
I think the opposite. I feel that, you know, I wanted with Breathing Light to take something like war or fighting and just put, it was just trying to get a sense of positivity and a different perspective and get away from the negative cynicism that quite often surrounds us from politicians or media people who perhaps haven't got our best interests at heart. And I suppose that's what Breathing Light is. It's about positivity and looking at things from an optimistic perspective. I mean, there's one point in the track where I'd interviewed Nelson Mandela in his house, and he, you know, he actually says, "We're free to be free." You know, it's a very strong message, you know, that we have a responsibility as human beings to kind of make full use of our freedom and to look at it as something of a privilege.
We are free to be free.
To be free. Now, I have to confess, I played it a couple of times to get the Nelson Mandela phrase. You must have recorded more, and also there are many statements by Nelson Mandela that the world has been riveted by. Why did you use so little of Nelson Mandela?
Because it's so powerful a phrase. I mean, we are free to be free. It says so much. I could have grabbed a sample, or I could have grabbed a radio interview or whatever and shoved it into this track, but I found it so much more exciting to actually go and talk to him. Now, you know, there are things that never made it onto the album from many people from all around the world, but in a way, all of those things, all of those experiences informed the mood and the feeling of the album and the way in which I structured the tracks.
I read somewhere that as you were going from country to country, from Spain to India to Latin America, that you would acoustically play the title track of Prophecy morning and evening. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it's in a way it was a way of just getting in touch with what's around you. Sometimes I'd listen to the drone of insects in Arnhem Land in Australia, or I'd listen to the sound of animals at the national park in Pilanesberg in South Africa, or I'd be in a snow blizzard in on Mount Shasta at 4:30 in the morning and near Sacramento. And it's interesting to hear the same track in those different contexts because it puts into perspective who you are in relation to what's around you. It's a strange thing. I mean, it was just something that was very personal.
Let's conclude with Prophecy and listen to it, because this is the theme song, the title song, and the kind of guiding light of this album. Singing here?
Oh, that's Jayantha Bush. She's from Calcutta.
And the London Community Gospel Choir is in here too?
That's right. The album's very, you know, it was very exciting to make in that respect. I mean, there's a Brazilian Symphonic Orchestra, there's the English Chamber Choir, there's a Soweto Choir, there's a 93-piece orchestra from Madras in India. There's so many great musicians and incredible spirits on the album. And I think that particular track is Prophecy for me was very much about the sense of journey that the album represented.
Nitin Sawhney, his new album is called Prophecy.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.